And so many times, we don't realize life is a test. We don't realize the things we're going through in life are a test, but they are. And they're a test by God to see if He can trust you with a greater responsibility at your work, with more income at your work, to go to greater responsibility in your life, with a greater finances and blessings, and whether He can trust you with greater blessings with what you have. And so it's a test. And so we want to encourage you, as God gave us first through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is our time to bring our tithes and offerings. You can do that through a variety of ways. You want to use a debit card like I use on the envelope. You can do that as well. I want to pray a prayer of blessing with you if I would. If I can. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. Father, we thank You for each person here. Father, we are a better church because of each person that's here with us today at Christ Fellowship. Father, we are a better church. We're a better congregation because of the people that You've brought into the life of our fellowship. And Father, we glory in You and You alone. And we thank You for this privilege, Father, to give and bring back the first to You, bring back the tithes and offerings. Lord, we pray blessings over each person here in this service. And Father, we pray that You will unfold to us Your next steps for our lives through Your word today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And while they're serving you an offering right there, I want to tell you one of the great blessings in life is seeing people who are in need of healing get healed, and lives being changed. And every Sunday at 5 o'clock, we actually have a group of people that are Celebrate Recovery Ministry that are going through life change and healing. I want you to see this video. I want you to see what it's all about. Watch this with me, if you would. Phenomenal. That's tonight at 5 o'clock. If you'd like to be a part, you can go to Building C, and they'll have some signs out front. You'll not want to miss being part of Celebrate Recovery. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 1. If you don't have your Bibles, there should be a Bible in front of you or one on the screen right there. You'll be able to see that we are in a message series called Swagger on how to live a life of confidence. Now, it's not is not self-confidence whatsoever. It's a life, as we talked about life last week, of Godfidence. Can you say Godfidence? Godfidence. Not self-confidence, but a life of Godfidence. A life of trusting God is in control of areas of my life. And Godfidence is when I place everything I know of myself under the control and the authority of God. In fact, if you got Facebook on your phone, just check in at Christ Fellowship. Go ahead and do so. And say, today I want to live a life of Godfidence. Go ahead and do that right now while we're talking right here. Because that's what we're talking about over the last couple weeks, and we're talking about today. And specifically, though, Paul in Philippians chapter 1 talks about how to pray Godfident prayers. How to pray big prayers that do big things. In fact, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul is chained to a prison guard in Rome, and he is awaiting a judgment, and he is chained there, and he starts praying for people. He's praying in this Roman prison cell, and he's praying some huge faith prayers. He's praying some Godfident prayers. And in Philippians chapter 1, he says, "For God is my witness." Now, whenever somebody says, "God is my witness," I know you don't swear. But if you did swear, if you did say, don't people, when they swear, you know, sometimes they'll use the name of God, do they not? You know why they do that? People don't even think. Because they're using the highest authority they have. And what he is saying is, listen, I am swearing, I am promising you that what I'm fixing to tell you from now on is the truth. He says, "God is my witness." He says, "How I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." And then he says, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment." He says, "Listen, I want you to pray a prayer, and I'm going to pray a prayer," he says, "for you, that I know if you'll follow this, it will bring great blessings to your life." Now, I want you to listen to this for a second. Because anytime I'm invited to pray a prayer of blessing in the very area of God's blessing, that's a prayer I want to pray. Isn't it for you? Yeah, really? Three of y'all. Great. Okay. Let me start over again. My name is Bruce. I'm one of the pastors. Whenever I pray a prayer of blessing that God already says he wants to bless, that's a good thing. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah, that's a good thing. So it's like my friend Greg. When Heather and I were going to get married, he said, "What? Where are you going to go for your honeymoon?" And I knew that Greg never asked questions without having an answer. And so I was playing along with him, and I knew he had something up his sleeve. And so I said to him, "You know, I got the honeymoon suite at the Motel 6 in Wyoming. I said, it's a beautiful chain link fence that oversees the pool. It's going to be a great, great, great time right there. And by the way, if you're from Waimama, no offense whatsoever. But anyway, so I said that to him. I said, we're going to go to Waimama. And he goes, "Oh my goodness, that's crazy." He goes, I said, have you thought about something? He said, "Well, if I were you," he goes, I would go to Hawaii." And I said, "Hawaii?" I said, "Boy, man, I've never been to Hawaii." He goes, "Well, that's where you need to go." He goes, "Has Heather been to Hawaii?" I said, "No, she's never gone to Hawaii before either." He goes, "If you're going to go on your honeymoon, you need to go to Hawaii." And he goes, "I've been to Hawaii several times. My business sends me there, work there all the time. I've stayed in almost every hotel there. And if I were going to go to Hawaii," and he says, I would stay at this hotel." And he goes, "My wife and I have been praying about what to give you and Heather for your wedding gift. And we would like to give you your honeymoon, if that'd be okay." And I said, "I'm going to have to pray about that." Yes, that's... I feel the Spirit of God coming upon us right there. This is God right here. So anyway, and so I said, "Man, good night. Thank you, Greg." And he goes, "You can stay wherever you want." He goes, "I've stayed at the Four Seasons. I've stayed at the Ritz. I've stayed here and there." He goes, "If I were you," he said, "I would stay in Maui at this certain Hyatt that's there." So he and his wife paid for our entire honeymoon at Maui at this hotel. It was phenomenal. It was incredible. It's amazing. And what Paul's saying is the exact same thing. Let me tell you where God's fixing to bless. I'm asking a leading question here, but I've got the answer here that there is a prayer I'm praying for you that you need to pray for yourself. That's a swagified prayer. That's a God-fitted prayer. And the prayer is this. He goes, I'm praying that the people that God has placed in your life that are far from God, that I'm praying that you will love those people. He says, I'm praying that you'll love them with great knowledge. And he says, I'm praying that you'll love them with great discernment. He says, listen, I'm praying this because I want you to live a life that's, it says in verse 11, that's approved with excellence. Or verse 10, it says, I want you to live a life that God counts as a blessing. I'm kind of giving you a heads up of where God's blessings are, and I want to move you towards that direction if I can, because there's something about in your life and my life, at the core of my life, the core of your life, there is something about the people that God has already placed in the sphere of the community, of your work, of your apartment, of your condo, of your life. There's something that God has specifically placed people around you for a purpose, and God has placed you there for a purpose. And he goes, I've called you to love them with great knowledge. Now, what does that mean, to love people with great knowledge? Sounds like you can't. It's difficult to understand. Well, what it means is this. He goes, I want you to love them, people that are far from God, that God's placed within the sphere of your life. I want you to love them with a great understanding of what the possibilities are. I want you to love them with a great knowledge, with a great understanding that I have placed you there for a purpose, and I have placed them there for a purpose, and that those purposes would connect. And so he says, I'm praying for you to move into the area of your greatest blessing. I am praying that you will love people. Now, you say, how do you love people? How do you love people? Well, it's pretty interesting because, you see, there's something that you are gifted at. There's something that you're really good at. There's something that, it may be that you can talk to people and nobody listens to people in your area of work like you do, so people come to you. Or maybe you have family or friends that are always constantly coming to you, always asking you questions, or they're always asking for advice because you're really good at advice. Or maybe you're really good at being able to care for people. And you, listen, you sense a need, you hear a need, you can pick up a need like nobody's business. And other people will pass by and you'll say, I think they're having a hard day. And you're just wired that way. You're just good at that. Maybe you're good at being able to fix a car or hold a baby or care for somebody in a certain way. And what Paul's saying is, you leverage what you're good at into the life of somebody that is in close proximity to you, and you love with the full knowledge of the possibilities, what God wants to do. You love them with the full understanding that their need and your ability are going to collide, and that God could do some amazing work there. God could do something absolutely tremendous there. That God, with you and your abilities and your goodness, can connect to their need in the sphere of the people and the places where you normally go. That before now, I just passed by those places. Before now, it was just a neighbor walking his dog across the street. Before now, it was just a person in the next cubicle next to me. Before now, it was just somebody that I didn't quite like. Before now, it was just a boss. Before now, it was just a coworker. Before now, it was just somebody that helped me with my work. Before now, it was just a new person that moved into the apartment complex. But now, he says, I want you to wake up to the full knowledge that I have something for you that's quite amazing. And so he says, I want you to love with all knowledge. I don't want you to miss this. I want you to watch the possibilities. I want you to realize that God has brought them there and you here for this purpose. And then he says, I want you to love not only with knowledge, but he says, I want you to love with discernment.
You see, if we're not careful with our love, it can get squandered on secondary things. And you see, where our love goes, our heart goes, our affections go. Where our love goes, our time goes. Heather and I, when we were on vacation, we had a conference that I committed to, for us to attend in Atlanta. And while we were in Atlanta, we went to this store called the American Doll Store. Are you familiar with the American Doll? They are like the cocaine industry for kids. Once you buy one of the dolls, you're in. You got to go to Celebrate Recovery to get out of the American Doll system right there. And so we went in, and you know what happened every single time? You buy the baby, then you have to buy the clothes for the baby, then you have to buy the crib for the baby, you have to buy the stroller for the baby. And then when your daughter grows, she's a little bit older, she doesn't want just the baby, but she can't give the baby away because it's your baby. You've adopted it. It's your baby. So then you have to buy a little older doll. And then they have these character dolls. And I could see the system. I could see my life savings moving very quickly. Nothing wrong with it, by the way. Nothing wrong with it. And so Heather, we were there. So every single time when he touched the doll, something in my heart went or by that door. And she touched another doll, and something in my heart went by that for her. She touched some clothes, and my heart would go, wow, I want to get that for her. And you know the reason why I did that is because I love her. And affections follow love. Money follows love. You show me somebody's love, and I'll show you a trail for their life where their affections and their energy and their focus follows to the end of that trail. And at the end of that trail is what they love. And so, by the way, you see, Bruce, how'd you get out of that? Listen, men, listen to me very carefully. This is good advice if you have children. Ladies, listen to me very carefully. I said to Gwenny, when I walked into this mall with this American Doll store, I noticed that there was an indoor merry-go-round that was on the second floor. And so I said to Gwen, in the midst of this whole thing of all, I mean, salespeople coming by, so nice. If you eat lunch, by the way, at their store, they allow you to adopt the baby just for the lunchtime. Yeah. So they're smart, they're brilliant. So anyway, so in the midst of all this, I say, hey, Gwenny, there is a merry-go-round with horses upstairs, why don't we go ride the merry-go-round? $2.50 was all that mall trip cost me the entire time right there. Amen? Oh, yeah. So we might buy our doll later, but I wanted to make sure I made a discerning decision. Because in the heat of the moment, the heat of the invitation, you want to go for it. You want to spend it. And Paul knew life was short. For you and for me, Paul knew that our easy affections move very quickly towards directions. And before we know it, we've bought the boat, and then we bought all the stuff that goes in the boat. And before long, we don't have time for the things that really matter. Nothing wrong with the boat. It's just if we're not careful, we won't keep it in balance. If we're not careful, he says, just be careful. Make sure that you love people with discernment. Make sure you love people with knowledge. Make sure you give your greatest affections, your greatest discernment, your greatest affections towards the people that are far from God. He says, make sure you draw near to those people and love them with the way that only you can love, with how you're wired, and you be and do what only you can do and you can be towards their need. And then you follow it up with a connection to the gospel. Sometimes all I'll do is I'll see a neighbor. I'll see somebody in my neighborhood, and I'll just I'll pull out from my wallet, pull out from my pocket, just one of these invite cards. These invite cards cost us nothing. They're pennies, if that, for us to print. But somehow, I'll invite somebody and I'll say, hey, listen, neighbor, Gerald, why don't you come? And I'll invite one of my neighbors to come. I'll invite somebody that God brings in close proximity to my life to come to church here. I'll encourage them to come. And something amazing happens is because when you do it and when I do it, they come. Chris and Heather are part of our church. They're fairly new to our church. They started inviting Travis and Tammy. Travis and Tammy were not close to God. They were far from God. Travis and Tammy, through a simple breakfast invitation, came. And then Travis and Tammy bought some friends of theirs. And we've seen this thing happen over and over and over and over and over again, where people would connect with people that are in their sphere of connections and influence. And something amazing happens, something blessed happens, not only in the life of the person that hears the gospel, not only in the life of the person that gets invited, but also in the life of the person that does the invitation. Paul says, listen, I'm praying an industrial strength prayer for your life. He says, because I want you to love people that are in close proximity to you. I place them there for them to experience the best of what I've placed within you. You know, Dwayne, I was just thinking the other day how many people have come to Christ when we do our barbecue Sundays. Now, think about this. God gives y'all an ability to master a sausage recipe. By the way, if you've not had Uncle John's pride, oh my goodness. Whatever sawdust sausage you're eating right now, stop it. Get you some Uncle John's pride. But anyway, here's the deal. So God gives y'all that recipe, his ability to make it, ability to cook it, Kevin, in such a way that is so delicious on that grill. And we have a barbecue Sunday. We have chicken and we have Uncle John's pride. I think we have a barbecue Sunday coming up in a few weeks. But anyway, here's the deal. When that happens, it's amazing. People come. People will bring friends to come. And it's amazing how God uses you to leverage what you're good at for the kingdom's work. To love people, you'll meet people in heaven that you will never met before that will say, hey, by the way, I came to Sunday. My life got changed through a barbecue Sunday at Christ Fellowship. There's some of you that are gifted in serving. There's others of you that have signed up. There's some of y'all gifted at making things. Some of y'all have these giftings on creating things of value. And when you leverage that thing that you can do to help other people, it's absolutely phenomenal. Some of y'all know how to bake, I don't know, just off the top of my head, maybe coconut cream pie, for instance. Some of y'all know how to make coconut cream pie. Before you give it to a neighbor, you're going to say, listen, I'm going to test it out on my pastor. I'm going to give him a coconut cream pie. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. He says, I want you to love those that are in close proximity to you with the very gift that God has blessed you and with the very love that you have. And then he says, guess what? I want you to be able to do this with all discernment. Be choosy with your love. Make sure you focus on the people that God has brought close to you right now before you live your life and squander on things that are of not eternal significance. He says, verse 10, so you may approve what is excellence. He says, so be pure and blameless to the day of Christ. He says, guess what? There is an accounting. There is an accounting that's going to happen. Have I ever taught you about swagonometry? It is the math of how God counts. I've never taught you swagonometry. Well, swagonometry is in verse 10 and 11 of Philippians 1. He says, listen. He says, I want you to approve what is best. I want you to connect with people that are the closest to you with the love of Christ that's in you, to draw them into the gospel where they can hear the gospel at a gospel-centered church where you can share your testimony so their lives can be changed. And he says, listen, this is how I count. This is what I do. He says, so that you may prove, verse 10, what is excellent. He goes, I want you to do this until the day of Christ. What's the day of Christ? It's the day that Christ returns. You see, one day, we don't know the day or the hour. One day, Christ is going to return for our lives. One day, the heavens are going to split open and Jesus is going to come for those that have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, he talks about it again, the day of Christ. The reason why they constantly in the scriptures talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ is because there is the opportunity not for us to know when that day is, but there is the opportunity for us to live life so no matter when that day comes, we are ready, and we are ready, and we are seen as doing the very things that God intended for us to do. So he says, listen, you are going to be exposed where your loves are. At one point, Christ is going to come again. And he says, I want you to be living life where it's the greatest blessing for others and for yourself. And then he says, you may approve what is excellent, so be pure and blameless. How do you live this life of love towards people that are far from God? You and I have been required and called by God. God prepared them to be in your office. God prepared you to be in that office. God prepared you to live in that apartment or that condo. God's prepared you to live in that neighborhood. God's prepared them to live in that neighborhood for you to be able to allow them to experience what you're good at and show that love towards their need, and the two to be able to connect where they suddenly are softened to the fact that God loves them, and you invite them through a simple invite to our church, or you share what changes Jesus Christ has made in your own life, as imperfect as we all are. He says, I want you to do this. He says, I want you to do this in a purity, and I want you to do this being blameless. The word pure is actually the word for sincere or without wax. It's the idea that they would make a vase and they would form it in such a way, and it'd be whole. It'd be with, it wouldn't have any cracks in it. It would be sincere, it'd be true, it'd be authentic. But from time to time, when they'd make vases, in Paul's day, what would happen is that in the process, there'd be a crack in the middle of it. And so what they would do so they could sell it is they'd put wax there, and they'd put paint over it. And as a result, what would happen is they'd sell something as whole, as authentic, as true, but it really wasn't. And given a few weeks, given a few months, the wear and tear of the heat or the liquid that would go in the vase eventually would leak out. And they would say about that, I bought that in good faith, but it wasn't sincere. It wasn't without wax. It was actually made to look good, but it wasn't. And he says, how you love people, he says, you do it in an authentic way. Listen, don't pretend to be perfect when you're not. He says, listen, you love people in the way that God created you to love people. He says, you do it in a pure way. Then he says, be blameless. Don't do it in an offensive way. Don't do it in a pushy way. There's one thing, listen, if you bring your friends to Christ's fellowship, there's one thing that you can always count on. We will not embarrass you. We will not do anything that's odd or weird or unusual. We will not do anything that embarrasses you, that would keep you, because I realize you're leveraging what you're good at and loving people and inviting them to be able to come, and I realize that there's a lot hanging in the balance of them coming on that Sunday. And so he says, listen, I want you to love people in a blameless way, in a pure way. And then just in closing right here, he says, listen, I talk is cheap. I mean, it is. So he says, just so you know, guys, as I'm praying these swagger-fied prayers for you, as I'm praying these industrial strength prayers, that God uses you to leverage your love towards people that are in close proximity to you, as you realize what's at stake
as you realize they're not in your life by accident, they're not at your work by accident, they're not in your neighborhood by accident, you're not in their lives by accident, it's for a purpose to draw them closer to God. He says, just so you know, he goes, I've done this myself. I'm not going to tell you to do something. I'm not going to pray something for you. I'm not willing to do myself. So in verse 12, he says, actually, the gospel has been advanced. The gospel has gone out. He says the gospel has gone out. And notice who it's gone out to in verse 13. The gospel has become known throughout the whole imperial guard. So what is the imperial guard? They were the secret service / SEAL Team 6 of their day. They were the palace guards that kept all political prisoners like Paul safe and kept the king safe. They were the best of the best of the best of the best. And you know what I found? Paul couldn't relate to these guys. These guys were specimens. These guys were phenomenal. The only connection they had was somehow Paul had loved them in a way they'd never been loved before. God had set up the relationship, the connection in Rome. And somehow one of them had come to God, then another, then another, then another, then another had come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so he says, listen, even though I'm in prison, God has set it up for me to be a part of the people that are around me. Listen, one of my neighbors, you know how God works? God works in spite of logic with people that you have no connection with, you have nothing in common with, but your faithfulness of loving them and inviting them, God does a work like never before. One of my neighbors the other day, he said, hey, you're a pastor, aren't you? I said, yeah, I am. He goes, well, I don't go to church. He said, I'll never go to church. My girlfriend goes to church, but I don't go to church. So I said to him, if you don't go to church, he goes, no. He goes, I won't go to church. I said, why don't you be my guest at my church? He goes, okay. What? I don't go to church. I won't go to church. Would you be a guest at my church? Yeah, I'll do it. See, we have nothing in common. He grew up in a different country than I did. We have different friends. We have different connections. We share a fence. And we share safety for the neighborhood. And because he was created in the image of God, and my other neighbors were too, I share a love for them. And I know I'm not there by accident. I know they're not there by accident. When he was out of town, and there was something in his house that was going wrong, and he was afraid somebody was breaking in, he called me, and we talked. And I checked on the house. And God uses those things to do a breakthrough so this guy that may be far from God can come into a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I'm just not living off to you. I'm just not telling you to do something. I'm just not preaching to you. He says, listen, I'm telling you this has worked for me too. And so this week, on the way out, you're going to be given an invite card. You're going to be given an invite card, and the reason why you're going to be given this packet of invite cards, whether it's your first time here, whether it's your second time, whether you've been here several times, the reason why we're going to give you these invite cards is there's people that you know, and maybe this is your first Sunday, and you got invited by some family or friends, or maybe you saw it on the internet, or something happened, and you say, well, listen, it's just here by accident. I'm just driving past, and it just kind of happens that way. I just kind of was drawn in here. I saw something on the internet. Somebody told me about something. And so you go, listen, I'm going to kick the tires. I'm going to test it out. And see, God has been preparing you for this moment. And God's been preparing us for you to come as well. And on the way out, you'll be given one of these five cards, just a packet. And there may be some opportunities this week. In fact, there will be. If you're willing to pray a swaggerified prayer like Paul did, say, listen, God, I pray for other people that I know, but God, I pray for myself that I will be aware of people that are around me, that I will not be blind to the possibilities of what you could be doing right here. I've missed it before. It's just been an employee before. It's just been a coworker before. It's just been another cubicle before. I'm going to go in, do my job, and get out. But suddenly I awaken to the realization that God has something more mysterious, something more miraculous than I ever could have ever imagined, that I could use what I'm good at, my love, and their need. And I could at least invite them to come and hear the gospel. I could at least invite them. So this is your first time or 50th time, and we're just a year and a half old as a church. God can use you this week if you're willing to pray a swagger faith prayer, if you're willing to pray a God-fident prayer. And God can use you, and God will set those opportunities up, and God will make you aware of the people when I've been blind, when you've been blind before. And so we're going to give an opportunity to be able to take one of these cards. In just a moment, we're going to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer blessing over your life, first of all. And then maybe some of you that would say, Bruce, I'm not 100% sure where I'd spend eternity. I'm really not. I want to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer with me. Not out loud, but in just a moment, in your heart of hearts, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer, I'm going to ask you to pray, and if you're not 100% sure where you'd spend eternity, I want to give you an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He loves you. He died on the cross for your sins and my sins. He was buried for you and rose again for you, and He purchased through His death and His burial and resurrection what your good works and my good works would never purchase for us, a place in heaven, and He offers it as a free gift. Would you bow with me in prayer right now? Not out loud, but in your own heart of hearts. There may be some of you that would just say, first of all, hey, I'm available. To love people this week that God has already placed in my life. I'm willing to be able to love them with the love that Jesus has placed in my life. I'm willing to invite them to church. I'm willing to do something to move closer to them, to show them the love of Jesus Christ. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's your prayer right there, just on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. You say, listen, I want to be used by God. I want to draw near to people that God has already placed in my life for a purpose. And I'm willing to do that. The count of three. 1, 2, 3. If that's your heart, would you raise your hand? Many, many people raise their hands. So listen, I'm willing to do that. Matt, hold on a second. No. Anybody else? Say, I'm willing to pray that prayer. I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. Yes, 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 yes. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? And there may be some of you that would say, listen, Bruce, I'm not 100% sure where I'd spend eternity. So Bruce, that'd be fine to be able to do that, but I'm not 100% sure where I would spend eternity. With heaven and hell weighing in the balance. Listen, God loves you. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. For imperfect people like me, God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. For imperfect people, maybe like you as well, Jesus went through hell so you and I could go to heaven. And so I want to give you an opportunity, if I can, not out loud, but you're in the heart of hearts, I want to give you an opportunity. Pray, maybe for the first time you meant it, a simple prayer. It just goes like this: Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my heart and save my soul. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're already a believer, you can pray for people in front of you, behind you, on the sides. But if you've yet to nail that down, would you pray that prayer with me? Not out loud, but in your heart. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins and come into my heart and save my soul. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or first time you meant it and invited Jesus Christ to come in your heart, I want to welcome you to the family of God. Jesus says, if you'll confess to me though before men, He says, I'll confess you before my Father. He says, if you deny me before men,
He says, I will deny you before my Father.
Simply what that means
is every person that received Christ as their Savior at some point confessed him to others.
So I want to give you an opportunity, not out loud, but in your own heart of hearts, as you pray this morning.
If you prayed that prayer and invited Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and come into your heart and your life,
I have some friends that have an orange card, and they want to place that orange card in your hands. If you pray that prayer, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment. And when you do, they'll place an orange card in your hand, and you can redeem that at the end of the service for a free Bible.
So if you pray, maybe for the first time, the first time you understood, you nailed it down. You said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. On the count of three, would you raise your hand? One, two, three. Would you raise your hand?
Yes, sir. That's a great decision down in the front. Great decision. Anybody else?
So Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart.
Listen.
Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father.
If you pray that prayer, would you raise your hand up and down again? Now, would you look at me real quick? Listen, that's the most important decision you could ever make. And I want to give you an opportunity, if you would, right now. It's not for anybody else except for you, if you prayed that prayer.
I want to give you an opportunity in just a moment to come to the front. Everybody's praying. Nobody's looking. You can go past the seat, somebody next to you, and say, excuse me, I want to invite you to come to the front here. I just want to pray a prayer blessing over you. And you can go on back. But if that's your heart, if you prayed for the first time, or first time you really meant it, whether you raise your hand up and down again or not, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat. I'm going to ask you to come. I got some encouragers that will come down here. They want to give you the Bible. They want to help you. Everybody's praying. But if that's the decision you make, it's time for the little boy to sit down and the man to stand up. It's time for the little girl to sit down and the lady to stand up and do exactly what God's called them to do. People are praying across the auditorium right here. But if that's the decision, teenager, if that's the decision, young lady, mama, if that's the decision you made, dad, if that's the decision you made, young couple, if that's the decision you made, this is your moment. This is your time. I'm going to ask you to leave your seat and you come with me right here. I won't embarrass you whatsoever, but this is your time to confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. Others are coming. I'm encouraging counselors to come. People are praying for you. If that's your decision, on the count of three, would you come? One, two, three. Would you come? Would you come? Yeah. Would you come? Anybody else? If you pray that prayer, would you come? Heavenly Father, what an awesome privilege this is. Father, to see you do a work in so many hearts and lives. And Father, we trust you. We thank you, Father, for the lives that have been transformed at all three worship gatherings this morning. And Father, we thank you, Father, for the privilege of seeing people raise their hand and lives changed. And we give you the glory and honor for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, we're thankful for this young man, that's a teenager, that's here to talk to Christ.
Yawans, so good to meet you. And you got a good youth director here with you. Group encouragers of these youth teams that are with you. We're going to actually go with these guys right here. They'd love to give you a Bible and help you take that next step in your spiritual journey. Would you encourage him?
Hey, it's been a great day, hasn't it? It's great. Shelby, it's great to see you here. Great to have you back in town here. It's great to have you here. Listen, this week, this is your time to invite somebody. They're going to give you some invite cards on the way out. This is your moment. Those people in your life are not there by accident. Next week, we start our brand new series called Swag House. Can you say Swag House?
Swag House.
Swag House. It's how to bring the it back into your life, your family, and your parenting. Are there some mamas and some daddies and grandparents that need some help on parenting right here? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's true. Kids are crazy. And they listen, if you don't know the principles in the Word of God from Swag House, they'll make you crazy.
That's the deal. You'll think you're losing it. So we're going to look from Proverbs on the wisest man that ever lived, on what it means to have the blessings of God on your parenting, your kids, and on your family. Whether you're single or married, you're going to absolutely love what God's doing in this scriptures right here. Hey, stay with us as we worship.
God bless you guys. We love you. See you back here at Christ Fellowship next week.
Father, we need. my friend Saul. I know that kid. Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, hi.
Huh?
Who is it? Oh my God. Oh my God.
GN, can you send me who's supposed to be for the lyrics for this month? Email it to me.
All right. Hey, you can see that.
I know, I'm
down.
I'm down.
I'm not sure. I don't know what I'm gonna get.
I need commitment.
Dude, we had a commitment yesterday.
Who did? Saturday? Oh,
yeah, yeah, I'll try. I'm not sure. I didn't even know I was going till 11:30
today. When are
you coming
back tonight? Are you coming back tonight?
But I don't know what time I'm going. It all depends on the person's time. All right, that's cool. Hey, buddy.
Are you okay with me joining you on Thursdays?
Okay. Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah. Whatever you want, right? So I don't know why it's not on there. Maybe you should wiggle it through and be like, man, it's not on the light.
I will.
Put it on there.
Yes.
What?
So you're not going to eat?
No, yes. I haven't even done it. Life of a minister.
Jerry, how are you doing?
Welcome back, girl.
How are you doing?
Missed you.
I heard that.
Were you doing that?
Okay. Your brother's coming back tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And your brother's coming back tomorrow, too, right? We're working on the world.
Yeah,
so
get it, get it.
And we're doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. How long does it take you to drive?
Outside of the wired world, so.